This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Swinging a high drive into center field. Hits at the wall. It is gone!
Swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
All right, let's get into it. We're back on Play Tessie, episode 251. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. 5-star rating, you know the drill. Find us on WEI's YouTube channel. Subscribe to WEI there and find the Play Tessie playlist there. It has all of our videos and you can hit the thumbs up there and we really appreciate it. And then we're on the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. I just realized I'm not at all centered, so I'm going to switch that up. All right, here with Sammy, here with Pat. The Red Sox have lost 5 out of 7 games. They just dropped 2 out of 3 to the Astros, dropped their second straight series. Another series with a game in there that felt like the Red Sox could have won in the first game for a number of reasons and didn't. So they've now lost 5 out of 7. To me, it's annoying and it's frustrating. Like, I hate losing. I do. And I'm not concerned about the team at all. Like, I genuinely feel, and we're going to talk about this, about what's coming up, the schedule that's coming up, the immediate series that's coming up, I feel really, really good about where things are going. That said, I hate losing. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. Not concerned, not even a little bit. I believe in the guys just as much as I did a week ago. But I'm frustrated because I watch the games every night and I want to see them win and they haven't been winning and it's frustrating to me. That's what I got.
Yeah, I would agree that I prefer when the Red Sox win. However, I do agree with what Alex Cora said after the final game of the Astros series. They're not playing bad baseball at all. They're playing against good teams. They're on the road. If you lose 2 out of 3 on the road to one of the better teams in the league, Padres, Astros, it's not the end of the world. It sucks for us. Like, we don't like seeing it. But this is totally, totally not the type of, oh my God, what's going on? Like, now we can panic. If they lose 4 out of 5 to the Orioles and the Marlins on this upcoming homestand, all right, then we'll talk. But look, like, man, these are good teams they're playing. Like I said, not bad baseball or anything. They just lost. It happens. I don't think I could possibly change any less my feeling about this Red Sox team than I have between now and our last recording. Same team. They're good. They're not great. I still expect them to make the playoffs. That's pretty much it.
They were plus 12 run differential on the road trip. They went 2-4 and they were plus, plus
12. Run. Get that out of here with the 12 to 1 win or 14.
The only thing I'm trying to say there is that is agreeing with your point that they played competitive baseball against good teams in the games that they lost. And in the games that they won, they kicked their ass. My frustration is not like I'm frustrated and I'm annoyed that they've lost their games recently. But again, like it's not concern. Like I agree with everything you're saying. They didn't play bad baseball. I want to see them come out on top. Like that's why we watch. We watch to see them win the games.
Dude, they lost close games to good teams on the
road.
It happens.
And it frustrated me because I want to see them win the close games against good teams.
I agree. It's frustrating. That's how I felt. I was like, God, yeah, man, they could have won that game. Frustrating. Yeah. But at the end of the day, like, in a good spot. The other team, like Seattle's not absolutely killing it right now. Yankees lost their last game to the Twins. Texas isn't hot anymore.
Not concerned about that. Not concerned. Pat.
No, I mean, it's hard to be concerned, right? Like they're playing competitive games. It really, the only reason that they had such a bad record on this road trip, they just couldn't capitalize on opportunities. They gave themselves the opportunities to win more games. They just didn't capitalize on it. And it wasn't like the low point of the season for me is always going to be that Angel series where they got walked off against Cam Smith. Not Cam.
Yeah, it was Cam.
Christian Moore.
Christian Moore, yeah. There you go.
Against Christian Moore. And we're not there. We're nowhere close to that. And my big thing is like it's games they should have won, obviously. They had the chances to win games. But it's competitive baseball against good teams. It's not like they went on the road and lost to, you know, the Pirates, the Rockies, and the Marlins. No, they lost to the Padres and the Astros. The Padres, you can make a very legit point that they're the best team in baseball right now.
I said that last show. Absolutely. I said I think they're the best team the Red Sox faced.
Absolutely. You can make that argument, and you can make the argument that with a skidding Detroit, the Astros are the best team in the American League. Like that's just factual.
By the way, Pat, welcome back from your bender. How was the bender?
I was good. It was good. I was in a jersey for 1, 2, 3, I guess technically 4 days. I look forward to not making that drive again for another year. It took me 7.5 hours both ways.
The jersey was like 4 hours. Like what? So are you going to like Philadelphia jersey?
No, that's Pennsylvania.
No, like the part of Jersey that's right next to it. I know they're not the fucking Jersey Phillies.
I knew what you meant. I got to ask, Pat, were you doing that drive back? Were you hungover on the ride back?
Because
that sounds like hell.
No, but I made my friend drive.
Doesn't remember.
No, I made my friend drive.
Good for you, Pat.
But I drove down. It was 7.5 hours both ways. It sucked. But so, Gordon, to answer your question, his house is on Long Beach Island. It's the island off of Jersey Shore. So it's like, yeah.
I definitely know where that is. Definitely do.
Well, I'm just supposed to say it's not like in the heartland of Jersey. Like it's like the Cape. Like you have to go over a bridge to get to it. Like it's the Cape traffic, but just in Jersey.
Is it the Jersey part of Massachusetts?
No, it's funny you mentioned that. It's actually the Dallas part of Oklahoma.
Makes sense.
Fucking nailed it. And the Red Sox lost the game that day too.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about.
They threatened a comeback and they didn't. They didn't win. They loaded the bases and scored a couple of runs and it didn't. Whatever. That series stunk. The Astros series, like it's just annoying because it's like if Garrett Crochet pitches like Garrett Crochet has pitched in quite literally every other start this year, like they take 2 out of 3 from the Astros and it's a different tone and we're not talking about like the difference between frustrated and concerned. We're talking about, hey, they've now taken 5 out of 6 from the Astros. Sammy?
Was that Crochet's second bad outing of the year? I was racking my brain trying to think, without looking, just off the top, like when was he bad? I could think of one other.
Is it the Nationals? Because they won that game, but he wasn't good, but they scored a shit ton of runs. So like,
That felt like Crochet was like not super engaged in that game. There was a game earlier in the year where he got hit around. Let me look it up.
There was another one against the Yankees where the Sox also kicked ass offensively and it didn't matter at all. And they scored runs off him, but it felt
Sammy,
wrong.
You think he struck out a bunch of guys. Cincinnati?
Seattle.
Oh,
Seattle.
I was at the game. Yes, it was against Seattle. I was at the game. He got rocked by like Dylan Moore and
Randy. Pat might not be wrong. Was there something weird against the Reds too?
I don't know, but the, I was thinking of Cincinnati. The game against the Mariners.
Crochet.
Yeah, he got shellacked by the Reds.
I think Pat's right. So he has had a couple of weird. This is the first bat. Okay, to Sammy's point, it's the second bad outing he's had where the Red Sox didn't score a ridiculous amount of runs to the point where it didn't matter that Crochet wasn't Crochet.
Yes.
So here you go. April 24th, he allowed 4 runs in 5 innings to Seattle. Other than that, Yankees on June 7th, he allowed 5 runs, but the Red Sox won 10-7, so we don't care.
Right.
It's basically been those two starts. The Reds, let me look, trying to find Cincinnati.
I remember the Red Sox crushed Chase Burns early, and we thought it was 6-0 in the first, and it's like, oh, this game's over, and then all of a sudden it like wasn't, and they won anyway.
Yeah, so that was he allowed 5 runs over 6. So he's had about 3.5 bad outings because that Reds one, he was good, and then it was a blowout, and then he kind of fizzled after that. I really think I said this like 2 months ago after the Nationals game. I think Crochet needs a good opponent to be at his best. Like he's locked in when he's facing like Aaron Judge, shit like that. Like when he's facing the Reds or the Nationals.
Well, it's the Astros.
Yeah, I know. But but I'm saying like this was his bad start. When he's not locked in and he's pacing the Nationals and he's just not his best but still good, that's different. Today, the Astros outing, he was just bad. And it happens. It's like we saw Tarek Skubal get rocked earlier this year too. Yeah, everyone gets rocked here and there. It's Major League Baseball. It happens. So if you're worried about Garrett Crochet.
No, stop it.
Take a long, long, long walk. Drink some water.
His velocity was good. He was throwing hard. Like I know there were some people that were like, oh, he passed the innings total that he had last year. So now he's in uncharted waters and now he's getting hit. Like, no. Just watch the velocity. He's throwing.
People talk about that. Like he passes the innings total and something just goes. And now he just like, fuck, how do I pitch? I forgot. I've never pitched this many innings. Like it would be so much more gradual than that. I can't stress enough. If it wasn't clear by my earlier comments, I could not be less worried about friggin' Garrett Crochet. He's fine.
So the other thing in that game, if we want to talk about things to potentially be worried about, and I shouldn't say potentially, and worried might be the wrong word because I don't know. Jordan Hicks lets up the homer, low leverage situation. Pat's rolling his eyes already. Sammy's sipping on his water, nodding along. It's tough because like Jordan Hicks lets up the 2-run homer. The Red Sox come all the way back. Roman Anthony hits the big home run and they end up only losing by 1. And it's like, okay, well now at this point, if Jordan Hicks just does his job in low leverage and keeps it scoreless, then maybe this is a game the Red Sox can win. In the end, they didn't come back and win it. So Jordan Hicks's name is central in on Red Sox Twitter, as honestly it deservedly so. But the issue is like I got so many comments about DFA Jordan Hicks, and I don't know exactly what you do about it because you can't DFA him. He has 2 years left at $12.5 million a year, and he throws 100 miles an hour. Like they're not going to DFA him. They're going to try to rework whatever the fuck he's doing in the offseason. The question I have for you guys is, how the hell do we get to the finish line with this guy when the Red Sox right-handed relievers that they have right now, hopefully they'll get Justin Slayton back, maybe David Sandlin plays a role, whatever. But right now, their right-handed relievers are Garrett Whitlock, Greg Weissert, Jordan Hicks, and Isaiah Campbell. How do you get Jordan Hicks to the finish line better than he's been?
How do you get Jordan Hicks to the finish line? I would say, first of all, you start using him in lower leverage spots. That seems like a no-brainer. Second, you pray to whatever God you believe in that he figures it out because this guy gets paid way too much. He's not going anywhere. If you want him to get DFA'd, I have a bridge in Kansas I'd love to sell you as well. It's just not going to happen. I'm excited for Jordan Hicks in 2026. I think he'll be fine next year. I think he needs a reset. He's had a hectic 2025. He's been San Francisco. He's been a starter. Then he's been a reliever. Then he gets traded. Now he's in Worcester. Now he's in Boston. Now he's pitching high leverage innings. It's just been messy for him. I don't think he's a bad pitcher, but I do not have much faith in him coming around in 2025. Like, you got to use him in low leverage spots. Pray that he figures it out. And that's pretty much the best I can give you right now. There's not much else.
Yeah, I think at this point with how he's been pitching, you just have to put him on like light mop-up duty. You can't give him any leverage. You can't put him in any close games. And you just got to pray that one of the lefties one of the lefties can get lefties and righties out. That or, yeah, that That's or, I mean, you stretch Garrett a little bit more, but I'm not a big fan of that. I think you need one of the lefties to step up and be able to get leverage outs no matter who they're playing. Justin Wilson's been pretty good. He had a rough game early last week, I believe it was.
He went like 6 days without pitching. I think after he let up a two-run homer to make a – was like a five-run game, a three – it was like a – he was in low leverage. He had to clean up for Alcala. That's what it was. And then he didn't. And then they had to use Whitlock out and Chapman after that.
Yeah. So but CS as a whole, he's been really good. Chapman, yeah. I mean, obviously he has been fucking phenomenal.
A lot of good rest for Chapman lately.
Yeah. Is Matt's that guy? Who knows? Is it worth, you know, sending Bernie down to bring Murph back up? Like, that's a conversation.
Bernie's already down.
Oh, true. Yeah. You need a guy who can get both sides out, and it has to be one of the lefties because there's five of them.
Pat, you took the words right out of my mouth with the Steven Matz thing, because if you're facing a right-handed heavy lineup, obviously Chapman's got the ninth regardless, and Whitlock's going to have the eighth. They've been, for the most part, staying away from going multiple innings with him. They did it the other day, but he threw like six or seven pitches in that first inning, and they really needed it. Outside of that, he's been basically a one-inning guy. Weissert has been fine. Like, he went on one of his Weissert downturns real quick. He kind of came back up. But if the issue is, if you've got a right-handed heavy lineup and you're pitching close games and your starter gives you five, I don't know how you get there without either getting Jordan Hicks on track or trusting one of the lefties, which, to Pat's point, Steven Matz. If you haven't checked out the interview that we had with Steven Matz, the episode below this, we talked to Steven Matz at Fenway Park. Great dude. Definitely recommend checking it out. But since he's gotten to the Red Sox, one inning, no hits, one walk, one strikeout. One inning, no hits, one walk, one strikeout. Inning in two thirds, one hit, no walks, one strikeout. Inning, no hits, no walks, no strikeouts. So he's at 4 2/3 scoreless innings since he's gotten here. They've been having him face lefties and righties. So I believe in the guy more than I do Jordan Hicks right now. Certainly I believe in him against lefties. I know the splits weren't pretty before he got here, but Pat, so why are you listening?
I'm going to predict Pat is looking at the splits of the left-handed relievers on the Red Sox, and that's why he's wincing. Is that what you're doing, Pat?
No, I am looking at the splits of Steven Matz against right-handed batters.
I know. And Wilson hasn't been good either. Wilson and Matz are the same exact way.
No. Steven. Hold on. Wilson has a 929 OPS. First righties. Okay, Wilson, yeah. Matz is 768. That's also bad, but
that's way better than it was. Yeah. Is there a way to see his splits before he got here? Because I swear, I mean, I know he's been facing some righties since he got here, but it was definitely higher than that when he got here.
Righties are hitting 291 off him with a 766 OPS.
But this is a guy who started games, and he started games. I know he's not the same guy that he was, but it's like he has faced both. It's not like he's like been a lefty specialist his whole career.
That's a stark contrast because lefties do nothing off him. Yeah. 180 average and a 440 OPS.
So, yeah, I mean, we could talk about this bullpen stuff all day. It's just they're going to be grasping at straws here until Slayton gets back. And even once Slayton gets back, like, you're going to have to figure out how long it's going to take to get him back in those high leverage roles, because it's not going to be right away. He hasn't pitched in months. I mean, it sounded like there was good news the last time we heard, and like he was throwing bullpens and he's going to do live BPs and probably not need much of a rehab. So hopefully soon. Sammy?
Slayton might have to go right into high leverage spots. There might not be an option. We're running out of time here. There's less than 40 games left. Yeah.
Question for you. Slayton right off the bat, like first game back, who do you trust more? Slayton in his first game or Greg Weissert?
Greg Weissert. Greg Weissert's been fine lately, but
Slayton over Hicks, yes, I agree with you on that.
Yes,
if that's what
he's
were anticipating.
Whitlock. Yeah, so maybe not. Maybe Slayton doesn't have to go right into high leverage. Now that I think about it, you have Whitlock. Where would this fucking team be without Garrett?
I know.
My God, it's terrifying to think about. But like, yeah, I trust him over Hicks. Right off the bat, I'll go with Weissert, but quickly it has to be Slayton over Weissert, because if you're going Weissert over Slayton, you're not in a good way. And that's not a knock on Greg Weissert. It's just, you need those high leverage arms, and as good and as valuable, Greg Weissert was my unsung hero or like sleeper at the halfway point this year. He's been huge.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you can keep riding him and keep relying on him to be in those big spots. It's just not a good way to live. Slayton is the guy you've identified as that back end guy. He's got to get back to that as quick as humanly possible.
To their credit, the Weissert usage, in particular, since they got some reinforcements, and by reinforcements, I do include Alcala, who was on a really nice run before he completely fell apart. But Hicks too, like before, they since added righties that they trust. It was Weissert every single day before that. They did use the additions that they made to give Weissert a little bit of a breather, and that's, I think, contributed to why he's gotten back on track a little bit. But to your point, Sammy, like, yes, unsung hero of the first half, but do you want him going back to the usage that he was, that he, like, you can't have him throwing like he was throwing in the first half. I don't think they will.
He's going to pitch 70 games this year. He's at 55 right now. He's going to have 70 outings this year. That's a lot for a reliever.
All right, the other thing we got to talk about with the series before we talk about what's coming up, Dustin May. We got to talk a little bit about Dustin May. This is the game, the middle game, the game that they won. Obviously, they scored a crap ton of runs late, but this was a game that was close, and it was close because Dustin May held the Astros completely at bay. That rhymed. Six shutout with eight Ks, looked every bit of the part. It's kind of hard to figure out exactly what they're doing with it. Like, obviously, the obvious pattern is that they've increased the cutter usage, but the first game that his first Red Sox game, he threw the cutter at 30%. The second game, this Astros game, he threw it at 20%. Kind of leaned a little bit closer back to what he was doing with the Dodgers, but they had him using the cutter 7% of the time with the Dodgers. It is a drastic change. He's using it to get the ball over the plate for a strike. He does it the same with the sweeper. Like, what we saw was a different guy. The velocity was up at over a tick. Like, it was impressive what we saw.
Yep. Yeah, velocity up 1.1 on average, which is a lot. It sounds like a little, but that's actually a lot.
Oh yeah, big time.
I really liked his interview the day after the start. He spoke with Tom Caron on the broadcast, and he said, look, I haven't been my best this year. I've been inconsistent. I've walked too many guys. I just haven't been myself. But lately, I've been feeling better. And one thing that he mentioned was he has not been on a consistent start once every 5 days routine in a long, long, long time. And we talk all the time about how Major League Baseball players are creatures of habit.
Nailed it.
Butchered that one. And he's no different. So when they traded for Dustin May, the thing I said to cope was maybe the Red Sox saw something that we didn't. But maybe it was more like, look, this guy's good. We've seen him be good in the past. He hasn't been on a normal schedule. We can put him on a normal schedule. We can get the most out of him here in Boston. And also, he looks like he's born to play for the Red Sox with that red hair. Jesus Christ.
Big red.
I think you keep giving him outings. Keep riding him to the end of the season. Once every 5-6 days. He said 5 or 6. He didn't say 5. 5 or 6 days. And see what you got. I think that's your best bet. They didn't get the Charlie Morton type that we were talking about, where you know what you're getting. They went with the upside play, which with 2 months, very risky. But that's who we got. So that's who we got to ride with. I'm interested to see how he looks in the next start. They're all going to be big for him from here on out.
So the thing with Dustin May, and this was... Not this. It was this past Saturday on EEI, and Rob wanted me to rank. And Sammy, I had you do it, but Rob on the radio on Saturday had me rank the guys who I thought were the most likely to become the Red Sox number four starter, and I put Dustin May on top of that because, like, it's not even because of anything I'd seen. It's just they're not going to give James Tibbs for just some random ass starting pitcher that they don't see something in, and. Maybe this start was the first of something that they thought they could unlock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Pat?
Yeah. I think the big thing, too, is because I'm looking at his pitch mix from that Astros game. He was pretty much evenly distributing fastball, sinker, cutters, 20, 23, 21. So those three are all fastballs moving in some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. I think the reason they love the cutter, and it makes a lot of sense, is he's throwing it to a lefty. He's throwing outside, working into a righty. He's throwing it in on the hands, breaking into the strike zone. If you're looking for a cutter, that makes the sweeper so much more effective because they see it starting in the same spot and it's just completely diving away. So I think that's why they like the cutter, because Crochet also has a really good cutter sweeper mix. And I think that's why he is so good. He throws about 100. He's got a cutter that's basically a mini sweeper, and then he takes about 10 miles an hour off and has a wipeout sweeper.
It's the best cutter in baseball.
Yeah. Yes. That he learned last year. I digress.
Yeah. So I think that's going to be a really big thing for Dustin May going forward. It's kind of like Giolito with his changeup. Like, if he does not have that changeup, he kind of gets teed off on. I think May is a little bit more of that. I think he needs to have both the cutter and the sweeper working to be effective, because that sweeper that he threw in Houston, whatever it was, 3-4 days ago, was a thing of beauty. He had some that just fell off the table, just insane horizontal break. But I do think that's why they like that cutter for him, because it helps disguise the sweeper and it makes the sweeper more effective.
I also think that the cutter sinker combo too, with a guy like May, yep. Think about it, like Dustin May's throwing from the right side. Imagine you got a lefty hitter up, and let's say you can start your pitch right on the inner line of the strike zone. If it's a cutter, it starts there, comes in on your hands, and if you swing, you're either going to miss or you're going to jam yourself. And if it's a sinker, if he sets it up with the cutter, the hitter thinks it's, oh, this is going to be a ball, I'm going to lay off it, and it drops right back in the zone, gets a sinker over for a strike. Like, the reason I think the Red Sox, and they've been doing it with Kyle Harrison, they taught him a cutter and he threw it and got five swings and four of them were misses in his start in AAA. They teach these guys cutters because it sets everything up. Like if you've got a good cutter, four-seamer, sinker, sweep, whatever you got, like anything, it sets it up. So it's not – Dustin May's not learning the cutter. He's had the cutter. It's just that he was barely using it. Dodgers kind of wanted it as kind of a show me. Red Sox clearly want to use it as – I mean, May said he used it as a weapon
pitch.
But it's a weapon to me in terms of, like, first of all, he's using it as a get me over, but it's also just a weapon in terms of it weaponizes everything else in his arsenal.
Yeah, I agree. It's kind of like the glue that holds everything together. The fastball is the heat. That's your hardest pitch. Slider is your big movement pitch. The cutter's right in between that. So I agree. I think the Red Sox pitching development, the way I felt about it last year compared to the way I feel about it this year, is it's night and day. And last year I said a lot, like, this isn't something that happens overnight with the pitching development. It didn't, but this is still way quicker than I thought it would happen. So maybe me personally, maybe I was a little bit too hard on the move with Dustin May. He's had one good outing. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I mean, it's hard not to feel good after that. That was like what more could you ask for? He was dominant.
Well, Sammy, it's like you said, like there's a lot of anticipation for me personally with this guy's next start. Cause mm-hmm. I mean, you see progress from start one to start two. Guys go to teams like, it's not a pitcher. It's just the first one that came to my mind, but look at Andrew Vaughn, gets out of Chicago, gets away from the White Sox, goes to the Brewers. And he's been one of the best hitters in the league since getting there, whether it's for tangible reasons or a change of scenery, like guys moving organizations. You can look at Ryan Brazier from the Sox to the Dodgers if you want to talk something tangible. Dodgers taught him a cutter. But sometimes it's all these guys need to get going and worry about the future in the future. But yeah, like this third start that he's got, not in the Marlins series, it's the Orioles. But yeah, that's gonna be big, because I tweeted it right after the Dustin May start. But if Dustin May can be an effective pitcher, a guy that you want starting a playoff game, like, that changes the entire conversation about what does this team look like in the postseason. Speaking of pitchers that you want to pitch in the postseason, the guy who started the third game, Walker Buehler, it was a really interesting start, because first inning, he gives up two bombs. I tweet Kyle Harrison now, and then he retires 15 of 16 in the middle. And then it was another two-run homer to Yiner Diaz in the sixth, makes it through six, but ends up again walking more than he's striking out. It's becoming a pattern. I have it written. I think it's 7 out of his last 12 starts he's walked more than he struck out. Mm-hmm. Let me try to find it, but someone give me a Walker Buehler take.
It's weird. If you look at it, just looking at a stat line, bad start. If you look at it like Andrew Bailey's probably looking at it, awful first inning, settled in for the rest of the game, and then fucked up right before the end of his outing. So it's weird with Buehler, because he has the track record, but he's also been awful this year. So how do you look at him? Do you want to keep gambling that he figures it out? You might have to. Do you want to pull the plug? And then you get to October and you go, oh man, we had Walker Buehler. What if he had figured it out? He's an October proven guy. That's why I've been so patient with him, because he's been so good, so dominant in October over his career. But at the same time, like, how many times can you keep running him out there? Like, who? And then the next question, which I'm sure we'll get to, is if you do move on from him, put him in the bullpen, or just get rid of him, which is unlikely, who do you replace him with? There's options, but there's no, like, this is the guy for sure type of pitcher. It's a tough spot for the Red Sox. There's no simple solution to it.
Pat, I got to get your take on Buehler. I'll give mine after you give yours.
So I think we can all agree rock bottom for Walker Buehler this year was that Angel start. Where he walked in. Okay. So I pulled up the stats. Since that game, he has made 8 starts. He is 2-2. The team is 5-3. In 8 starts, he's thrown 43 innings. He's given up 44 hits, 22 walks, 8 home runs. His ERA is 4.19, but he's not going deep into games. They're pulling before it gets bad. His FIP is 6.04.
I was going to say, the FIP will explain it all, because we've watched these games. Like, there's all, yeah. Go on.
So he's been batting average ball play 263. Like, just across the board, aside from a mediocre ERA, has been flat out bad. His whip's got to be like 1.7, 1.8. It's bad. It's really bad. And if the postseason started tomorrow, he is 100% not on my postseason roster. Because it's the difference with him and I'm trying to think of like Nick Pivetta, let's say.
I was literally about to give you a Nick Pivetta comparison.
Yeah.
Locked and loaded.
The thing with Nick in 21 was that he really struggled in that second, third time through the lineup. That's when he really seemed to struggle, but his stuff was good. Like you could get through if he had a really clean inning, maybe you can get him to go two innings. I don't trust Walker Buehler facing the 7, 8, 9 hitters of the Colorado Rockies. I don't.
It's interesting you bring up that Pivetta. I thought you were going in a different direction. I thought you were going to bring up when they, because spoiler here, I would put Walker Buehler in the Isaiah Campbell role right now. Keep him on the team, but he's just not starting games. And he, you basically treat it the way they treated Nick Pivetta in 2023. That
my thing with that is Nick's stuff is so good.
Agreed.
His Buehler's stuff is nowhere close. So good. Buehler throws meatballs and slower meatballs. Like there's no go-to pitch for him. There's no, oh, I can locate this. He's walking. If he gets into a postseason game and starts walking guys,
oh my God,
I'm going to lose my shit.
My blood pressure will skyrocket.
You cannot risk that. He is not on the postseason roster.
With Buehler, I think it's more the command. Like his fastball's not great anymore, but it's 94, a touch over 94. The slider actually looks pretty good. He has no clue where it's going. And when he misses by so much, and then he'll try to overcorrect, and then it's right down the middle. What will happen with the Astros, he throws an inside pitch to Peña. It gets cleared out for a home run, solo shot to start the game. And then he doesn't go back to that part of the plate for like 5 batters. He doesn't touch the inside corner. That's what he did against the friggin' Astros. It was so frustrating. Just miss too far to the right side, too far to the right side, talking about the pitcher's perspective. And then he hit on the left side, but it's too predictable.
Okay. Here's what I've got on Buehler. Cause I wanted to come prepared with some stuff. It's Pat came prepared. I've got different stats too, similar, but different. Since he came off the IL, if you guys remember, first start off the IL, he threw like 2 innings against the Mets and got thrown out. So after that, 14 starts since he came off the IL, not counting the ejection. It's a 6.17 ERA. It's a 6.68 FIP. It is a 6.68 FIP. For 3 of those 14 starts, just 3 of them are quality starts. And he has walked more than he has struck out in 7 of his last 12 outings and 3 of his last 4 outings.
That's like, the issue is the walks.
Right.
Because guys can just stand up there and wait for their pitch. And if they don't get their pitch, there you go. I'll go take first base.
But this is where I'm getting at here is, guys, it is mid-August. It has been this way the entire year. Yes, there is a chance that Walker Buehler, maybe not as much this year, although it's not off the table, but like he could catch on somewhere else, particularly next year, and be good. And I'm fine with that. Because I've seen enough. I'm not sitting here telling you that he's fully cooked. I am sitting here telling you that when he takes the mound, I do not trust him. He's capable. Pat, you're looking at me like that, but 2 starts ago, he put together a good one. He's capable of those. But
right.
You cannot, you cannot watch him take the mound and feel confident that he's going to give you something good. There is more upside with similar floors with other guys in this organization right now. You can
go
put
back
Buehler
to
in the mop-up role. No, I'm not even saying DFA him. I'm saying put him in the mop-up role.
No, I mean next year. He'll go back to the Dodgers next year and he'll be like...
They actually have good starters on that team. Pat?
He, to me, is on such a Noah Syndergaard, Dallas Keuchel pathway.
Ooh, like, that's a good call.
He just strikes me... I know, yeah. That just strikes me as like the path he's on. Like none of his stuff is the same. The velo is gone. Like he'll kind of like bebop around and like maybe play one more full season for a team and then be like a depth. Like I don't know what is going to be in the cards for him. But like this is like just me. I don't know how you guys feel, but like to me, it's like I've seen this movie before. Great guy gets second Tommy John. Like whatever. We've seen it in Keiko. We've seen it in Syndergaard. Toward the end, I wouldn't even count that because Urban Santana was like 75 when he was signing these deals. Like those
Santana. How did that guy come to your mind, dude?
Cole Hamels at the end. Like, there are like those guys who just fizzle out so early and kind of like journeyman, kind of bop around, whatever. That's more so where I think Bueller's headed than he goes somewhere else and thrives.
You know, but I think you're probably right, Pat, but I could see him going somewhere else and succeeding. And again, that's fine. Like, it's been 20 or 21 starts. I forget which one it is. Over 20 starts. Like, enough is enough. Enough is enough. Kyle Harrison, and we can get into this next, but Kyle Harrison, 5 scoreless, 8 strikeouts, back-to-back scoreless outings. He's got a 1-2 ERA in his last 3 starts. No, it's not going to be perfect if you call him up. There is a lot of work for this guy to do in the offseason. Bueller, go to the mop-up role. You treat him like Nick Pivetta, and if Kyle Harrison comes up and he shits the bed, then Bueller goes right back into the rotation, and it's fine. But to me, there is a chance that Kyle Harrison, you find lightning in a bottle, and he can get you to the finish line and maybe even help you in the postseason. With Bueller, there is nothing he can do at this point to instill trust in my mind as a viewer of his starts. Mm-hmm. It's over to me. It's done.
Yeah,
he may maybe starts another game, but it's done to me.
Yeah, I'm glad the Red Sox were patient with him. I was saying, don't pull the plug. You have that upside. You got to see if you have it. At this point, we're in mid-August. I'm like, all right. You gave it all the time you could. Good job not being like, you know, pulling it early because you could have missed out. But now we kind of know you're probably not missing out, at least not for 2025. I kind of agree with you, Gordo. I could see him catching on in like Milwaukee.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Walkie or something, maybe sure. Reinventing himself, kind of like CeCe Sabathia when he lost his velocity. He had a bad season and then he tweaked the way he pitched, became more of a quote unquote, he became a pitcher rather than like a guy who threw gas. Maybe Bueller does that. I don't know, but I don't think it's going to be in Boston.
Pat, what does that look on your face, dude?
If
Pat's like, he's like tickling his cranium. Like,
if there is one team that I can see signing Walker Bueller, thinking it's like, oh, like, so let me put it this way. If he signs with, we'll say the Brewers or Brewers, Astros, or Rays, I think he'll be serviceable. That Cleveland. being said,
but who cares?
This is the ultimate guy that the Mets think that they can fix, and he sucks even worse.
They wanted him this offseason. They were the runner-up to the Sox.
Fucking Red Sox wanted to give him 3 years. Oh, how scary is that?
He saved us from us.
I was like, hey, don't pull the plug after one half a year. Craig Breslow's like, how about we give him three? Like, that is fucking crazy.
Sammy, to your point, and like Pat and I were much more impatient on Bueller than you, but I will absolutely say, to your point, depth matters a lot when you're at the beginning of the season, when you're in the middle of the season, when you're before the trade deadline. It really matters because you don't know just how fast. You can snap your fingers. You lose two starters. You're going to be like the Red Sox traded Quinn Priester, and it took all of a month and a half for them to be, holy shit, like both in terms of he's pitching really well and our depth is like really shrinking here. You can never have enough depth. So you really do want to ride starting pitching options till the end. I agree with you on that. And
it's enough though. But it's enough.
But now, regardless of how he's pitching, you're seeing it in the minors. Like they're sacrificing starting pitching depth options by design. This is why David Sandlin's becoming a reliever. This is why Peyton Tolley's in AAA and probably going to start shrinking down his arsenal to become a reliever. Like you don't need the depth options anymore as you get to the end of August. And it's like, okay, we need to eat one more month of the season. Like we can take risks. And one of those
Criswell
risks
is your
to
depth
me,
option now. That's, yeah, exactly. That's your depth right now. And, yeah. And maybe Fitz, but Criswell sure. And Fitz. Yeah.
Even if Fitz becomes a reliever, like how many depth options do you need to get through one month? Not many.
No, not at the end. You don't need that many. And the Red Sox have more depth options than people think. Like, you want to get into talking about Kyle Harrison?
Yeah,
this is a good segue.
Yeah.
So, okay. I think I like Kyle Harrison a lot. And I think the issue with the way people are looking at him, people don't realize this kid is super important to the future of the Red Sox. And he has been better in his last two starts. Five innings, was it? No earned runs in either start. That's great. Two hits and then one hit. Awesome. But there's also three walks and four walks. He hasn't been efficient. He hasn't gone over five innings. I'm not trying to say he's not a good pitcher. I think he's a really good pitcher. But if you're the Red Sox and you're calling this kid who you got in a massive trade, you're calling him up in a playoff race to pitch big games. These aren't throwaway games in late September when you've already clinched or you're already eliminated. These are important games. You better be fucking positive that he's ready. And if he's not ready and he gets rocked, then he's got to sit on it all winter long. And he's thinking, I'm with this new Red Sox team. They've overhauled my repertoire and I got rocked when I came up to the big leagues. And I was okay in San Francisco, but what the hell was that in Boston? That's really bad. You do not want to be in that situation. So I'm not saying don't call up Kyle Harrison. I think he'd do okay. But if you're the Red Sox, you got to be friggin' positive. You've got to be close to 100% sure that he's going to be at least what he was in San Francisco, which was a quality start, 4.5 ERA, slightly over. You got to be really confident he's that guy. And on top of that, he's not your only option if you're not positive. You have Cooper Criswell and Tyler Uberstein, who's been really good lately as well and is not as important to the future of the team. So if you call him up, he doesn't do well, not as big of a deal. That's my contention with the Kyle Harrison thing. It's not me saying he's not good. I think he's going to be really good. But is now the right time? Tough call.
Here's the thing. As you said, you're in a playoff race. These are important games. And you basically listed off a collection of pitchers. You could add Richard Fitz into that too. I'm not going to add Tolley or Sandlin or Early in there as starters, because if they get called up, and I don't even think Early's really a candidate for it, but if Sandlin or Tolley get called up, it's going to be relievers. They do have options. To me, the reason I prefer Harris, I'll just talk about it in relation to Cooper Criswell, who I feel like is the favorite amongst Red Sox fans to call up, because they saw him throw seven innings of, was it scoreless or one run ball against Houston?
Shutout,
seven shutout against Houston. Like, that's crazy. But we've seen the Cooper Criswell experience before. We know what that's capable of turning into. With Harrison, you can't be 100% sure of anything. In his most recent start in AAA, it basically was the Giants' arsenal with the cutter mixed in, which, again, like, you can kind of tie the conversations together with the Dustin May thing. You're hoping the cutter is going to set everything else up to be more effective. And with Kyle Harrison, his fastball is his greatest weapon, his four-seamer. So to me, I think Kyle Harrison has the best chance to be that dude that you can catch lightning in a bottle and give you good starts. I'm not saying he's going to be like your game three or four starter in the postseason necessarily, but that's a guy who has 39 games of MLB experience. He's done it before, and hopefully, if the Red Sox did right with him, he's a better pitcher today than he was when they got him. Nothing comes without risk, just like making Peyton Tolley a reliever doesn't come without risk. Yes, throwing Kyle Harrison in games that he could mess up and have to sit on all offseason, sure, it's a risk, but that's a risk with everybody. This is you are playing in a postseason race with a young team. Guys could screw up and it's going to suck. Like, those are just the risks you take, and that's how you create growth with these guys. Like, getting them involved in this race, to me, even if they fail, I think it's good for them.
I hear what you're saying, but like, it's a much bigger risk than I think people realize. If this were May and you had May, June, July, August, September to remedy a bad start, fine. But you have very, very short amount of time. And this kid, like, I really think this kid is part of the future rotation. I think he's really, really good. People forget this is a guy who was the number one left-handed pitching prospect in baseball not too long ago. So if you're calling him up and you're not, maybe 100 is a lot, if you're not 80% sure that he's able to give you, I'm talking four innings, two earned runs, very low bar, I think he could do that. But if the Red Sox aren't close to positive that he can do that, I don't think it's worth it. I think you go with one of your lesser guys that you have less riding on, because if Cooper Criswell gets lit up, you lose the game. That sucks. But you know who Cooper Criswell is. He's your depth guy. Richard Fitz, he's been lit up. He's bounced back. He's been lit up again, and he's bounced back again. He can handle it. Kyle Harrison, new team, new scenario. Long, long, long winter. I really, really fear. And again, I'm not saying that this is like some weak-minded kid, but for anyone in Major League Baseball, if you have to sit on that all winter with your new team, when you were this highly touted prospect, now you break back in with a new team, you got rocked again, not a good feeling. So I want the Red Sox to be incredibly conservative with the way they treat Kyle Harrison.
Pat?
So let me ask you this. Rosters expand what, September 1st?
Yeah. What, okay. Is it one hitter and one pitcher you're allowed? Like, you can't just do two pitchers, right?
Yeah. One hitter, one pitcher.
Yep. Pat? Yep. So let me see if this changes your mind. Walker Buehler, as currently constructed, would get three more starts before then. He would get the Orioles twice and the Pirates. Does that take the urgency away, or are you still pushing the button now?
Orioles and Pirates for...
Orioles twice and Pirates, and then September 1st rolls around.
To me, that's all the more reason to push the button now. Like, you're given a kid that you want to succeed right off the bat favorable matchups.
Yes, but because the roster hasn't expanded yet, there's also going to be some form of correlating move.
I would send Isaiah Campbell down, and I would make Walker Buehler your mop-up guy, and he can go back into the rotation if it doesn't work.
Okay. Sammy?
Yeah. The thing with Harrison is, I mentioned his walks. Based on the scouting report, based on what I've heard, it's one side of the plate that he dominates, not the arm side. The arm side he struggles big time with. And if I know that, then the Pirates are going to know that. The Orioles are going to know that.
And he's not a finished product, for sure.
But if you're walking four guys in AAA in five innings, and the scouting report is clearly telling you he misses on this half of the plate, It's just, I don't know.
It's not going to, the issue is they don't have a guy to slot in the fifth starter spot where you know you're going to get five plus innings, three runs or less. Like, they don't have that. Like, you have to take shots. That's why,
Uberstein, like Tyler Uberstein, listen to these numbers. He started 15 games. He's got a 3.55 ERA, 106 strikeouts and 91 innings, 1.24 whip. Give that guy a shot. You have nothing riding on him. If he fails, goodbye.
You got the season. Who you have cares? Your own season riding on him.
But we're talking about a small amount of games. Like, this is not, you have your other four starters to handle the bulk of it. You're not feeling great with any of these options. Here's the issue.
That's the sad truth. Like, you have to balance whether you're looking at scouting report / status, like I'm talking about prospect status versus stats. And like, I made an argument with Kyle Harrison's AAA stats while also understanding that, as you said, Sammy, he's the former top left-handed pitching prospect in baseball. Tyler Uberstein has good AAA stats, but like, this is a guy who's what, like the 20th ranked prospect in the Red Sox system. Like, yeah, I'm not saying he can't do it, but I'm just saying, like, you've got a guy who's pitching well, who the organization clearly believes in, who's showing you that he's about as ready as he's going to be this year. And you've got good competition, I mean, easier competition to get him into those games and let him build some confidence. To Pat's question, like, to me, you can continue to just start Buehler and pay him the incentive. You can do it and feel pretty good that he's going to pitch well against the competition. But to me, it's about, okay, we're going to need a guy potentially down the stretch to beat the Blue Jays or beat the Tigers or beat the Yankees. What's our best shot at getting a guy up here that can do that when we're going to need it?
I'd go Criswell if that's how you're thinking about it. At least you know what you're getting.
Same.
I mean, I wouldn't be totally against it, but I think Harrison's got a higher ceiling and similar.
For sure. Oh, that's not even a debate. Kyle Harrison has
potential.
He's got the second or third highest ceiling of every pitching prospect in the entire organization.
But even just short term ceiling, like for the rest of this year.
Mm.
He definitely has the highest ceiling among those options.
I'd still go him. I want to keep the important asset safe. I don't want to put him in a disadvantageous spot where he's sitting on an all winter, and then it's risky. It's valuable experience, man.
It's valuable experience. That's what this team's been missing.
Okay, but it's not valuable experience if you go out there and you pitch two innings, give up five runs. That's negative experience, in my opinion. You just got your shit kicked.
You gotta learn how to fail in this league, dude. Baseball's a game of failure. But I agree, but
I think that's better to do in March, April, May, June, July, when you have a runway to clean it up. You don't have a runway to clean it up right now. That's the issue.
It's not postseason experience, but it's pseudo postseason experience. And like, yeah, if it doesn't go well, he's gonna learn from it. Like, these guys are athletes. They're steel.
You know what
they
you could do?
Steel, Sammy.
You know what's a good in between? Have him pitch in a bulk role. Because then if he doesn't do well, you can be like,
role.
Oh, you were in a different role. You were in a different role. It's tough.
Excuses.
You can put him into an advantageous spot. No, Pat, but it's not. You can't just laugh that off. Like, if you put him in a good spot.
But you're setting him up to fail if you change up his role.
No. Listen. You start him off in a pocket of the lineup where it's advantageous for him. Two out of three are lefties. Great. Now you're off to a good start. Let him pitch a second inning. Two clean innings. Take him out of there. That's good. That's good experience right there.
Pat?
Did anyone mention Connolly early?
I did, but I said I didn't think him or Sandlin or Tolley were viable starter options down the stretch.
I think he might be my favorite of the bunch.
Early?
What has he started, like two AAA games?
Two AAA games, but he's also a guy who threw...
Let me see what he did before he got to AAA.
Before AAA, he had 12 starts. Yeah. 2.5 ERA.
15 games, 2.51, and he was striking out 12.1 per nine.
Great changeup, too.
And that's like the perfect level of prospect where, like, could be something, but you don't completely crash and burn if it doesn't work.
Oh, 100% agree if he just had a little bit more AAA experience than he does. That's
fair.
Yeah. We have to get to Nuff Said, but really quick before we get to Nuff Said, Nathaniel Lowe just got DFA'd. Do either of you guys want Nathaniel Lowe? Let's be really fast with this. Do we want him? Pat?
No.
Pat does not want him. Sammy?
Yeah, I think he's like an obvious upgrade over Abraham Toro. He's going to cost the Red Sox $2.5 million. He hits righties better than Toro. He's been a great defensive first baseman throughout his career. He has playoff experience. He's a veteran. Yeah, I think that's a minor upgrade over Toro, just enough to make it meaningful. But again, if they don't get him, it's like, whatever, dude. It's not that big of a deal.
He is arbitration eligible next year, by the way.
Yeah, so like if you Andrew Vaughn it, like, you, there would be reward. He's making 10-something mil this year, so it'd be a raise off of that. Has to be.
Yeah.
But,
or
like,
non-tender him, yeah.
Well, yeah, obviously you can non-tender him. So, that, I mean, the only true risk is the $2.5 million. I would be open to it. They're carrying three catchers right now. I don't know why they're doing that if Narvaez is healthy. I don't really see the point.
They're going to DFA. They're going to DFA Ali. What's his name?
Ali Sanchez.
They're going to DFA him and pray that he passes through waivers so they can keep him in the organization. I feel like it's obvious.
Sure. I'm in. And they can DFA him and bring in Nathaniel Lowe. And if it goes well, then you've got an upgrade over Toro. And if it doesn't, like, I wouldn't even DFA Toro to do it. Like, I would just give him like a small week-long stint to see if it's anything. And like, if it's not, yeah, like, you paid some money, but like, this is a playoff team. Playoff teams, you take risks for them and they cost money.
Dude,
but it's not something I'll
are,
be heartbroken over if it doesn't happen. But I would do it. Why not?
If the Red Sox are making or not making decisions based off of $2.5 million, my head is gonna explode. So I hope,
Sammy,
that doesn't matter at all.
That they've been doing that shit for fucking years now, bro.
I know. But now is the time to stop doing
now
that.
Now is go time.
How far are they from the next tier? We should have looked that up.
I think they're not even close. I think it's like nine.
They're
mil.
Not.
Okay, yeah. So it doesn't fucking matter. It means
it
nothing. Fenway Sports Group
nothing.
Is worth $13 billion, $2.5 million. Just give me that money. Just give it. Send it to me. If you're listening, Fenway Sports Group, I'll send you my address.
All right, let's do some Nuff Said. I'll go first this time. I love how much the Roman Anthony catch-up thing has caught on, even though like this was out there months ago, and maybe that's on us for not promoting it enough because it was a great answer, but love that it caught on now. Shout out to Alex Bregman, who also does not like ketchup, as a resident tomato hater. And it turns out like people like tomatoes, but don't like ketchup, which is interesting. But any sort of hatred towards a tomato product I can get behind. But love that this is like a constant topic of conversation. Like, great answer that Roman gave, deserving of the attention it's getting. I'm glad. It's just, it makes me smile every time I see any sort of ketchup discussion, whether it be people like legitimately asking questions about it or just like, how the fuck do these motherfuckers not like ketchup? Like, it's just funny to me and I love it. That's my Nuff Said. Who wants next? Yeah.
Ketchup is so just like, it's just there. I don't think, it shocks me that anyone has a strong opinion on it either way. It's just like a condiment.
Pat, do you like ketchup?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Pat does.
Ketchup on a burger, must. I don't eat hot dogs. I don't really put it on French fries. Pretty much I only really eat ketchup on a burger, but it's not because I don't like it. I just prefer other stuff with other stuff.
Ketchup with malt vinegar is amazing with fries. So good. Five Guys does that.
Malt vinegar.
Dude, Five Guys.
I know malt vinegar. No.
Love Five Guys. Fuck vinegar.
You don't like malt vinegar?
I don't even know.
My God.
What's the difference between vinegar and malt vinegar?
It's just a slightly different taste. Smells nice. Yeah. The malt vinegar smells good.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's good with ketchup. You just mix it in and it gives like a little bite to the taste. It just spices it up.
Do you like salt vinegar chips?
No. Oh, that I don't like.
It's a little strong.
No,
it's a little
nasty. That's why I like malt vinegar. It's light. It's like a light vinegar and you mix it with the ketchup.
I put hot sauce on literally everything. Like,
Shout out hot sauce. Massive
glass bottle of Frank's. I probably go through one of those every 2 weeks.
Pat, would you say that you're a big hot sauce guy?
Huge hot sauce guy. I put it on eggs. I'll put it on chicken. I'll put it on ground turkey. I put it in rice if I have like something else in the rice. If I make chicken, I'll put it on chicken. I will put hot sauce on, to quote the old lady from the commercial, I put that shit on everything.
I like a little spicier than Frank's. I like it to hurt. I want to sweat while I'm eating. I don't know why. I've always enjoyed that for some reason, even though it's pain. All right. My Nuff Said. From a friend of the program, Smitty from Mass Live, posted a good question. A very simple question that I thought was interesting. Who is the best player on the Red Sox? And for the purpose of this question, let's just not go with pitchers. Just position players. Who's the best player on the Red Sox right now, August 14th, Thursday, as we're recording?
I mean,
Friday as you're listening.
I just feel like it's a 50-50 shot between Bregman and Roman.
No, pick one. Pick one, you Pick one.
I don't know. Probably Bregman, but by the smallest of amounts. Like, you could really make the argument for either. Pat?
Pat? Who you got? Come on.
I think... Fuck. You said no pitchers?
No pitchers. No.
Yeah, if it's a pitcher, it's Crochet.
Right, so Isaiah Campbell goes out the window.
That sucks.
I think I would lean Roman. I think I would actually lean Roman.
I think I'm leaning Roman too, man.
Not in the landslide, not because one, not like Bregman is one of my favorite free agent signings the Red Sox have ever made. He's been incredible. He's been everything we could have wanted and more. But Roman.
He walked Roman's four dead. Times and hit a home run in the same game. Like, yeah, that
should have been five. Should have been five walks, mm-hmm. by the way. Should have had a five-walk game with a home run. Fuck you.
It's just
different.
Fuck you. All right, Pat, give us a quick nuss said. We got to get out of here.
I hope that I don't even call it like breaking news, but I hope you guys haven't seen this yet. So, shout out Tyler Baronski. He's at the Marlins game today, actually, as we record on Thursday. And he caught up with Matt Strom pregame, who, for those of you who might not know this about Matt Strom is a massive, massive, massive sports card collector. He collects cards of all the guys who hit home runs off of him. He collects cards in general. He collects all cards. So Tyler Baronski basically asked him about collecting cards, and Matt Strom explained why investing in Pokemon cards is the smart move if you're looking to make real money in the card world. And his reason is the baseball quote of the year. He said, and I quote, "It's because Pikachu is not going to tear his ACL. Charizard is not going to get a DUI."
That's smart.
So shout also, out Matt Strom. For
always the king of good quotes over there with Matt Strom.
Quotes, yeah.
Also, nobody ever talks about this. Mewtwo is 6'7", and he has three fingers. He would have been a nasty, nasty pitcher if he put his mind to it and wasn't trying to destroy humanity to figure out where he comes from and what his purpose is. But yeah, I've always liked him in that role as such a big guy.
Quick little nugget. I don't know how close this ever got or if this is a thing or just an idea, but I think Coop, shout out Coop, former producer, Joe before Joe. I think him and Matt Strom used to open up baseball cards like on the monster before the game. Or he tried to do it or something along the lines. But that's sick. That's sweet.
Love it. Love Matt Strom. Love Mewtwo. Always good. All right. That's going to do it for episode 251 of Playtest. We appreciate you guys tuning in. Remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Find us on WEI's YouTube channel. You can find the Playtesty playlist there. Subscribe to WEI on YouTube. Hit the thumbs up on all the Playtesty videos. You appreciate it. And then find us on the socials at Playtesty on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. For Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing, it's Gordo here. You got a Marlins series. Let's get a sweep. We didn't talk about it. We forgot to talk. But we ran out of time. But very favorable matchups here. Marlins on a long flight overnight. It's going to be interesting. The Sox have plenty of advantages. All their good guys going. Let's get a sweep. Get the brooms out. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.